Hello and welcome once again to the School of Faith. So glad you're joining us, whether you're joining us on on video, whether YouTube or Rumble, or you're joining us on the podcast. We're just excited that you're here today. And we are again looking into areas of faith. That's what School of Faith is all about. Recently, I taught a series here in the sanctuary at Word of Life, and it's called To See or Not to See. And I went into some areas that I don't think I've covered on the School of Faith. Now, we've had a lot of teaching on the School of Faith, but this is going to add to it. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. So you can just look at the title of this particular session to know which number it is and where you're at in the order, but that'll be easy to figure out. You don't want to miss one of these sessions in the School of Faith. So let's go into the sanctuary right now and pick up the Word. Good. Get a hold of your Bibles. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. Because I am a doer of the Word. And not a hearer only. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Go with me over to Romans chapter number 3. This is our anchor scripture that we've been using on this study. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 27. Praise God. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Paul's been talking through this third chapter of Romans about the law. The law of the Old Testament. The law was given through Moses. And now what we are supposed to do through faith. The book of Romans, that's the focus of it, is getting you out of the works of the law and having to do something to get right with God, to where you begin to do it by faith in Him. By listening, allowing His Word to come in you and change you, and you respond to it instead of a law. I got to do this, I got to do this, 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 this. And when I get done with that, I got to do that, 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 that. No. It's not about what I got to do. It's about I'm changed inside to what I want to do. Amen. You don't have to come to church. Now, you need to come to church. You need to. And when you're young, you need to have young Christians around here. We talk to them. You need to be in church. We give them instructions. We encourage them. Now, we can't make them come. But there should be something on the inside of you that says, I want to come. What is that? See, that's because of the God giving you an influence in your heart. And you are responding and walking by faith in that. And here he said, by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. We're talking about faith. And we're learning about why faith is. We've learned that already. Because you have to know the why. If you don't know the why, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, there's a lot of school classes back when I was in school, especially junior high and high school, that I said, why? Why do I need to take this class? Because if I didn't understand a why, to me, the class was pointless. I thought, at one point, I thought, you know, I'd like to take chemistry. You know, I like mixing things and blowing things up and, you know, making things go fizz, fuzz, foo, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And my idea of chemistry was kind of exciting. I don't know if chemistry is exciting or not, but I thought it was. So I went and I said, what do I have to do to take chemistry? They said, oh, you got to take, and I forget which math class it was. It was one of the advanced math classes. I don't know if it was trigonometry or whatever is after algebra and now algebra, that I have no idea what the why is for that. I still don't know. That's why I never go back and study algebra again. Because my question is why? To me, it was a waste of time the first time. I'm not going to waste my time a second time. Now, probably somebody has some whys, and they make sense, but they don't make sense to me because I've never learned them. We got to know the why of faith. Amen? And we spent time on that. I'm not going back into that tonight because we don't have time for it. But you can go back and watch the videos and audios, and it's all available. All right. So tonight we're on what faith is. Once you know the why, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's the big why. There's other whys, other things that come into the why. But I want to please God. That's enough for me right there, besides all the other stuff we learned. So then we have to learn what faith is so we can make sure that what we are accessing and what we are exercising is the faith of God that he has put in us. See, sometimes we thought, and I've seen a lot of people do this, thought they were accessing the faith of God in them and they were exercising faith, and it turns out they were exercising hope. See, if you're using hope, we'll just call them tools, okay? If you're using the tool of hope instead of the tool of faith, there's a whole lot that the tool of hope is not going to do, no matter how hard you try. It's not going to do it. See, it's like using, has anybody ever seen someone do sheetrock work? Like mud and tape? Y'all know what mud and tape is? Takes the old rough sheetrock and the all the screw holes and everything and the joints, and they come in there and they mud and tape it, and they have machines to help them do this. And they're really slick. If you ever watch them do it, they're fast. A lot faster than me. I am slow because I don't know what I'm doing. But mudding and taping, you have to have the right tools. Now, can you imagine walking into that room? You got a bucket of mud, sheetrock mud they call it, and you got the tape, you know, the stuff that goes on the joints. Now, what you're going to put it on with is a nail gun. Can you imagine what this job is going to look like? Well, you put the tape on there, you put some slap some mud on there, you shoot it with some nails. Wow. You are going to have one mess. Your dog wouldn't even want to go in there. Amen? Why? Using the wrong tool. See, hope is a tool, if I can put it in that term. Faith is a tool. Peace is a tool. Joy is a tool. You need to pick up the right tool for the right thing. Amen? And the reason why so many Christians are not getting answers to their prayers is because they have picked up the wrong tool. And it will never work as long as you have the wrong tool in your hand. Now, so we have to identify what is the right tool. So if I was teaching you, and I had a hammer up here, I didn't bring one up here tonight, but a hammer. Now, you think that's really ridiculous because everybody knows what a hammer is. No, everybody don't know what a hammer is. Everybody does not know. You were not born from your mother's womb knowing what a hammer was. Somewhere along the line, you had to learn. And even if you learned what a hammer was, doesn't mean you're good with it. Some of you start to pound a nail in, you can't hit the nail to save your hide. If I put the nail in the board up here, and I had you all come by and say, all right, you have like 8 seconds to pound that nail in. We would be laughing so hard we'd be falling off our chairs with some of you. I mean, you'd be hitting the left, hitting the right, getting mad at it, time running out. Nope, not. But you know what a hammer is. But you're not skilled in using it. See, so we got to learn what faith is Then we're going to get into developing our skill in using it. That comes next. But I got to get done with what faith is. So, Hebrews chapter 11, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, we've already started into this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have learned so far that faith is always now. The tense of faith is now. If it is not now, it is not faith. And you will hear people say, oh, I know God is going to do something. That is not faith. They may think it's faith, but just because you think it is something doesn't make it so. You are not the creator of the world and of the universe. If you were, you could think it and make it however you wanted it to be. But you are not, I am not. So what we got to do is figure out how God made it to work and work that. Amen? So faith, the faith of God, is always now. Now faith is. So if you're making a statement of faith, I am healed. That's a statement of faith based on the word that's in me. Not I'm going to be healed. Going to is hope. Now hope is good, but I want to walk by faith. Amen? So, first of all, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now we covered that last time, so I'm not going to go in depth there. Other than to say, substance means it must, the thing you are believing for, the thing that God has promised, must exist somewhere. Because if it didn't exist somewhere, it could not be, faith could not be the substance of it. So substance means it exists somewhere. The substance of things hoped for. Hope comes first, faith comes second. You got to get hope. You have to have a favorable and confident expectation, a happy anticipation of good, looking forward with confidence. See, that's hope, looking forward. But you know it turns into faith as you're speaking the word and speaking the word. You know you switch to faith when it goes from being something that is anticipated in the future to I have it now. It is mine now. Now, it will manifest in the future, but it is mine now. I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. God is not going to meet my need. God has met my needs. There's more than enough. You say, oh, but look in your checkbook. Isn't there a lot of zeros there with no number in front of them? Oh, well, that's immaterial. Because, see, faith is for something you don't presently have. If you already have it, you don't need faith for it. Amen? So once you get the manifestation, then you move on to something else. And you're supposed to live from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But then it says, it is also the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is evidence? What is evidence? If you go to court, in any court of law, and there's a trial going on, they will have evidence. Is that right? Yes. Oh, come on. You've seen a few TV programs, lawyer programs on TV. Some of them are kind of accurate, and some of them are real cheesy. But you've seen enough to know, if you haven't been in the courtroom, you've seen enough to know that the prosecutor is going to bring out evidence. Now, if the prosecutor doesn't bring any evidence, the case is over. But the prosecutor is going to bring out a plastic bag. He's going to say, Your Honor, may I label this as exhibit number one? In that plastic bag is a gun. This gun has the fingerprints of the defendant. This gun has his fingerprints all over it. We have verified that. Here's the certificate from our police lab that they took fingerprints off of this gun, and they identified them with this guy right over here. Then he's going to bring another bag. He's going to say, this is the bullet that we took out of the victim, and it matches the riflings in the barrel of this pistol. And it was found in that guy. And this pistol has this guy's fingerprints on it. Therefore, this guy pulled the trigger on this gun and shot that guy. This, Your Honor, is evidence. And now we have something else. Because the grocery store surveillance camera, which he didn't know was there, was pointing that way. And we have video, and they play the video. And here's that guy, arguing with him. He pulls out the gun and bam, shoots him. Your Honor, we have all the evidence. The judge says, that's it, he's guilty. Now, it depends on whether it's a bench trial or a jury trial. You know the diff? Some of you looking at me funny. A bench trial is when they have waived their right to a jury, and the judge is going to decide. A jury trial is they go, nope, I want a jury. Then you have a jury of your peers up there. I don't know, 9, 10, 12, whatever the number is. And they are going to listen to the evidence. Now, they go in the room, and if they've seen all that evidence, you know what they're coming back? Guilty. Yeah. Throw him in the pokey. He's going to pay for this. Now, evidence is proof of something you don't presently have. All right? Now, if the jury is in there, and the judge is in there, and everybody's in there, and a guy pulls out a gun and shoots somebody right in front of him, we don't need evidence. Because everybody saw it happen right there. We don't need evidence. We can try him right now. Bam, bam, bam. He's done. Because we saw it. We had it right here. But evidence is proof of something you don't presently have. Now, in the case of the natural, in the case of a courtroom in the natural, evidence is proof of what has already happened. See, that's why you need evidence to prove that it did happen. Faith is the evidence. Now, what is it evidence of? It is evidence of what God has already done. And it is evidence that what God has already done will, if you will stay with it, manifest in the future. Really, you could say it this way. Faith is the evidence of what is already coming because it's already yours. See, if it's not yours, it ain't coming. It's not going to show up somewhere down the line in time if it's not yours, if you haven't believed it, if you haven't received it. Amen? Hope will not make that happen. Faith will. It is. Faith is the evidence. Evidence. Proof. I have evidence. I have evidence of a number of things. Now, what is my evidence? My evidence is the substance. It is the word that God has given me. That word has gone into my heart. And I know that thing, that those things are mine. Amen? Amen. Not only are they mine, but they're going to manifest in the future sometime. Why are they going to manifest in the future? Because I already have them. If you don't have it, it can't manifest. Let me put it this way. In order for something to come from the realm of the spirit and manifest in the natural, there must be an owner. Stuff just don't fly across that barrier. Okay. In case you haven't noticed, there's kind of a barrier between the natural and the supernatural. The spiritual. The realm of God. The realm where the substance is. And the substance in the realm of the spirit does not just come and manifest just because God thinks it's a good idea. Trust me, there are multitudes of people, Christians, love God, that tonight are in pain and are hurting. They are not in good health. Yet, it is the will of God for them to be healed. But just because it's the will of God doesn't mean that it's coming from the realm of spirit and bam, manifesting in their bodies. There's got to be something take place that causes what is there to cross the boundary, if I can call it that. Cross the divide, whatever you want to call it. Cross the difference between the realm of the spirit and the natural realm. And that is faith. Faith gets a hold of what is in the realm of the spirit and causes it to come and manifest in the natural. How in the world did you get saved? It happened the day you made Jesus Lord of your life. You got a word in your heart. You got a word that energized your faith. You believed that God loved you. You believed he washed away your sins. You believed that he wanted to set you free. And because of that, you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. You, in one way, shape, or form, whatever you did, however you said it, you said it. And when you did, why did you say it? How come you didn't say it the week before? Because you didn't believe it. Not enough to act on it. But then you got to that point where you believed it, you received it, and you acted on it. And when you did, what was on the other side in the realm of the spirit called salvation, called freedom from sin, called the peace and joy of God, it when you believed, received, and acted on it, the faith of God in you caused that to come. God was just waiting. He was just waiting to do it for you. He wanted to do it. It was his will to do it. But how come it didn't happen before that? Because you didn't let it happen.